Natural 20!
Fans of Dungeons and Dragons know that sound. The fantasy role-playing game that you may have seen on Stranger Things or E.T. has never been more popular. And yet, D&D fans have just staged a revolt against Hasbro, the company that owns the game. It's over a change to the licensing rules that would affect people who make a living. Yes, a living playing Dungeons and Dragons. For more, we're joined by Ben Brock Johnson. He's the host of the Endless Thread podcast. And Ben, as I understand it, a level 7 half-orc ranger. Is that right?
Yeah, Kethar Thrunvar at your service, Peter. Here to give you an investigation check and a history check on this story.
Thank goodness, because I have no idea what that means, to be honest. I don't play Dungeons and Dragons. So you need to start with the basics here. How do you play this game?
Right. So Dungeons and Dragons, as many people will know, has been around since the mid-1970s. It's this really unique role-playing game where the only real ingredients you need are a bunch of dice, a book of rules that are largely math equations, and your imagination. You build your own adventures, you solve problems in this group, fight monsters, and over time, D&D has become massively popular. It's now owned, of course, as you mentioned, by a game publisher called Wizards of the Coast, which itself is owned by the multinational toy and holding company Hasbro. And when I say multinational holding company, we all forget about wizards and warriors and start thinking about shareholders, right? Mm. And shareholders, in the parlance of the game, like to get their gold pieces.
Right.
And the game hasn't really generated enough gold pieces in treasure for the shareholders. So the parent company's updated the licenses in the game's literature in the hopes of making more money off of all of the D&D games being played all over the place.
Okay, let's go through this. The company comes along and says, we haven't made enough gold coins out of this game that everybody or so many people are playing.
Yeah.
What exactly were the changes that Hasbro made or tried to make?
Right. The original suggested licensing agreement of the game, which was leaked some weeks back now, changed the restrictions for how you can use the game to yourself make money, because a lot of these third-party organizations do. Think about podcasts based on the game, web series, people who build custom content and characters and things like that. This licensing document used to be 900 words. It ballooned in this version to 9,000. The D&D community all over the country and the world turned into a bellowing horde, and the publisher and parent companies backed down a little bit. There are still a number of changes coming. For one, the game makers have more power to revoke people's ability to use the game, especially when they are also using hate speech and other offensive language, things like that. But the company has walked back a lot of the proposed changes about forcing game players to be more in touch with them, which could lead to more revenue.
I love the way you describe that, a bellowing horde. Why? Why was there such a backlash? I mean, in some ways, you'd have to think the company has a right to make money off of its intellectual property, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is this kind of like tension between the community of the game and the game itself. The game itself really is something that everyone and anyone can play with just a few tools, but you can't easily copyright game design. So there have been a lot of organizations that have popped up that have made good money off of this. And again, the parent companies want a piece of that.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you right, this is how I see it as an outsider. Like, Hasbro wants to leverage this game and its intellectual property into revenue. It's even got a new big movie coming out, a big Hollywood blockbuster.
We're thieves, but we help the wrong person steal the wrong thing and unleash the greatest evil the world has ever known.
And yet you have this community of players, some of whom have been playing the game for 50 years, and the reason they love it so much is that it's not a product in the way that other games are. It exists in the imaginations of the people who are playing, and they have the freedom to do whatever they want with it, right? So that's a fundamental conflict that, I don't know, must be tough to resolve.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what kind of spell you could cast to solve this problem. I think there will be another version of the game released. There will be new licensing agreements, presumably in the future, although now the game company says that it's going to put the licensing under Creative Commons, which is a much more open source license. It's a bit of a PR move, I think, but you know, overall, there will be more opportunities for the parent company to try to squeeze some more money out of this game. And, you know, maybe they'll do it a little more sneakily. Maybe they'll be more of a rogue than a barbarian or something like that when they try to do this.
Finally, Ben, what's to stop people from just abandoning the official game altogether and going out on their own?
So look, it is true that there's a lot of competition, and gamers, they care about things. And so, you know, when a game parent company does something like this, it does run the risk of losing a good chunk of that community. And with all the other kinds of games that really have come out of D&D over the years, you could see some of that community go away. And it is true that the game maker is rolling the dice, as it were, when they try to make changes like this.
Ben Brock Johnson, host of the Endless Thread podcast. And what did I call you at the beginning? A level seven half-orc ranger.
I'll quest with you anytime, Peter.